This is the local music revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. On today's episode, we have a band called One Ton Project, right out of Las Vegas, Nevada. It has to be a very special occasion for me to deal with signed artists, because sometimes labels can complicate things in just a small way, mainly the music and using the music as I need to on the podcast. Funny enough, I looked into One Ton Project, I double-checked with them, and I thought it was good to go, so we will do this interview. Plus, Sage was pretty good guy to talk to, really fun and very interesting, and his insights on the underbelly of Las Vegas is just one of the amazing things that we talked about in this episode. It's near the end, but we actually do get into talking about the music scene in Las Vegas and what Sage feels needs to be promoted in that music scene. And it's a really good conversation, really interesting. I actually do say it is legitimate. I've never been to Las Vegas, and I would love to, but sadly, it's only the people that live there that will ever get to understand and know and be part of this scene the way that Sage is. Speaking of the local scene, I do have announcements for the Local Music Revolution pertaining to the California Central Valley music scene, but sadly I don't have all the information quite yet. Once I do, I will make a release on the WordPress where everything is located. That is thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. I will make that announcement, and it will be a big one. You can also see that on facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMRpodcast, and on Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution. And surprisingly, somehow, some way, Tumblr started working again. So most of the updates can be seen on tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Sorry, I forgot the URL because it's been forever since I've actually used that thing, but I keep getting updates from it, so yay, it works again. You want to hear more of the podcast? You want to see what we're doing? All you have to do is go to iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube, type in The Local Music Revolution, and you will see those channels. Please remember to subscribe, rate, add, comment, all of those good things. I like to know how you're doing. I really enjoy your feedback, and I really enjoy the suggestions that you guys give me in order to make this show go forward. I do take suggestions from musicians themselves and from the fans, so I really want to know what you think. And that was a segue to make sure you guys know that Stringjoy.com does sponsor the podcast. They are a guitar string company that branches off into guitar picks and also instrument cables. But mainly, they do guitar strings, acoustic, electric, and bass strings. And the best part about this is they work with the artist to make custom strings for them. It's very, very awesome. That is why I am so pleased to work with these guys. All you have to do is go to stringjoy.com, figure out what strings you want. They do have bass set strings, or you can have their customized strings. You can work with them by telling them what you want, what you hear in your head, and they will actually work with you until you've got those right strings. They also have customizable instrument cables, which can be customized down to the inch. So once you get to the checkout, all you have to do is enter promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you will get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Now, I've done the things, I've talked about the stuff, And without further ado, here is Sage from One Ton Project. All right, man, we're live. All right, I'm here with Sage from One Ton Project. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Andrew. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. Thank you very much for asking. So, all right. For people that don't know, you are from Las Vegas. You're in One Ton Project. You are currently signed to Battleground Records, but I want to go back to how the project started. So, can you give me how the foundation was laid for this project?
Well, we've actually been around for a little while, not in the current form, but several of the members have known each other 15 plus years.
Wow.
So I actually, and they jammed under different band names and, you know, yada, 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 you know how all that goes. I first met the guitar player Brandon Louthan and the drummer Daniel Fuller in 2004, believe it or not.
Wow.
But I only jammed with them for about a month. And I left and did another project. And 5 years later, I came back. Brandon kind of emailed me and everything was right. And we got back together in that way and then brought in Travis, the singer, who they had also known for 15 plus years. So he came back as the singer. And then Joe, the other guitar player, came in as well. And we all played together really well. And it clicked immediately. And that's basically how we got together in the current form.
All right, so what was the last piece of the puzzle that was the drummer? I'm sorry?
What's that?
Who was the last piece of the puzzle in this current form?
Joe Munoz, the guitar player, the other guitar player.
Okay,
There's actually three guitar players in the band.
Wow.
And all of them do all the duties of every guitar player. It's like some guys are playing strictly rhythm, harmony, solos, and kind of big trade-off and a big challenge for the sound guys at all of our shows, because they're always we actually make them work so they don't have to go to the bar and get a beer every 2 seconds.
Oh wow.
Sometimes it's really frustrating for us because we see them, you know, wanting to leave the soundboard and not pay attention, but we have to keep them on their toes vocally too. There's at times there's five vocals going.
Five vocals.
Kind of, so we've actually started using our own little soundboard with pre-mixed vocals and just giving them out so they don't have to worry about it. And sometimes they get pissed off because we take that control away from them, but you know what? Too bad.
Wow. That's intense, man. That's awesome. All right, man.
Yeah.
So your final formation, what year did all of you come together into this formation?
I'd say about 2008.
2008. So you guys have been rolling this foundation since 2008.
Yeah, there was several years of a hiatus
that we
went on between like 2012 to 2014.
Okay.
Where we had recorded a demo EP, if you will, like a 5-song thing, and we're playing lots of shows on that. And then we went in to record the full length, and that's kind of, for better or worse, life kind of happened, you know. Kids were happening, you know, just kind of, we were being pulled a lot different directions work-wise, and we weren't putting the concentration we needed to into the recording process. And then we kind of woke up one day and said, damn, we really need to get back on track here, which is then we did. We finished the record and got signed with Battleground and are really pushing now to get it out there to as many people as possible.
All right, so during that hiatus and everything, were you guys still able to find time to jam out, or was it a complete stop in the tracks, the band's tracks?
No. We're always friends, talk to each other all the time. We would jam here and there, write new stuff here and there. A lot of it was actually the vocals took a long time to do. Because we were almost writing vocals retroactively recorded all the music and then kind of went crazy with the vocals and just experimented with harmonies, like tons of multiple harmonies, you know, 20, 25 different harmonies on each track in various forms. And then we chose what were the best ones out of that. And then when we went to go started a jam to play the record, those are the harmonies we learned to actually do live. So that was a huge process, which was a big learning curve for us. And on the any new recordings that we will have in the near future, it's not going to be like that. This is going to be more written beforehand. We had the time and we didn't have any pressure, so we just went absolutely nuts experimenting with all sorts of different stuff. So,
wow.
Which and we also recorded the record and produced it totally ourselves. Actually, I live with Joe, the guitar player, and the studio was our house.
Wow.
I love that. I have a degree in audio engineering, and everyone in the band has an amazing ear. So we really went crazy and produced it all ourselves. We have some really good gear, really good pro mics, preamps, the whole bit, and we knew how to make a quality recording. We all had the know-how and the wherewithal to do it. So that's basically how the album came together, but 100% self-produced.
Wow, I love that. I've said this many times on this podcast, and I know I will say it many more. I think the DIY approach for musicians is the next step in music, and it's amazing to hear that you guys are doing that.
I'm a huge proponent of doing it all yourself. You know, especially if you have a vision of what you want to accomplish sound wise, then you can. And if you have the skills and the ear to implement that vision, do it. You do not need a major label.
Oh, you don't. Not anymore. Technology is amazing for that, man. I mean, myself. I have the entire studio set up here in my second bedroom. I mean, nice. I can make a metal record here in my home studio. I mean, I love it. It's amazing. One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself.
One of my only thing when it comes to the home recording is for me, I need a good drum setup. I need a good room and a good sound for drums, because I personally hate drum replacement. So if I'm recording in a little tiny bedroom with a big ass kit, it's not the most ideal thing for me personally, but you know, you can get around it if you really try.
Yeah. I've learned very, very quickly not to rush the process. The process is the process for a reason. And especially with drums. I mean, those tones have to be good.
Dude, you got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
So use your ears and tune the mics, position the mics to the room, listen to the room, listen to how everything resonates. And it doesn't matter if it's a big room, if it's a small room, you really need to just kind of set up your mics for that specific room and you'll achieve the best result. You know, and get creative too, you know,
yeah,
with different mic positions and the whole bit.
Yeah, that's the most fun part, is trying everything. I mean, I like that feeling like a kid going, what's this do? What's this do? You know, I love that element of music making.
Absolutely fascinating.
So for your guys' guitars, when you're recording in your home setting, did you DI or did you straight through the amp?
Well, there's a combination of everything. The drums, we had 16 mics on the drums.
Jeez.
Yeah, 16 mics in various positions. There were some, you know, obvious fixed positions, but I experimented with a lot of different room mics behind the kit, you know, different weird positions for snares and stuff like that. So that, the guitars actually had 6 mics on them, all 4 speakers, all different mics, and 2 room mics.
Wow.
The bass I DI'd straight up from my I used on the bass for this record mostly was a late 70s Japanese lawsuit era J bass.
Wow.
And I also used a 79 Rick on a couple things too. But that was straight up direct into a Universal Audio LA-610.
Nice.
And I kind of messed with the tone a little bit from there.
Did you do any distortion to the DI track for the bass, or was it just the clean bass sound?
In post, I added a distortion only in one spot, which was in John the Clown.
Okay.
Which is one of the songs I believe that I sent you to play.
Okay.
Other than that, I basically rely on my fingers for the tone, and I can adjust my settings just a little bit, and I can get enough grit out of the settings that I use and my fingers to compensate for any sort of distortion, if you will. You know, I can overdrive it a little bit. Live, I will use some distortion here and there, but I'm a huge proponent of relying on your own fingers for your tone. I'm pretty bare bones when it comes to that.
So speaking of that, who are your bass influences?
Personally?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess you could say I spent my early teenage years trying to rip off Geezer from Sabbath and Cliff Burton from Metallica, you know, just like your classic metal stuff. As I got older, your tastes change. Always still love the metal, but you get into, I'm into every form of music, as the entire band is. If it's good, done well with conviction and originality, then we pretty much like it, because we can pick up that what the artist is trying to put across, you know. So influences would be anything and everything that's badass, if you will.
Oh man, that's awesome. I like that response. Yeah. That response makes me so happy.
Well, it's general, but it's true, you know.
Well, no, it's amazing because I'm 26 right now, and mm-hmm. I grew up with hair metal and, you know, the really heavy metal like Pantera, Metallica, Megadeth, Propane, Sepultura, all of those.
Sure. Yeah.
And for the longest time, I was like, metal, that's the only thing, everything else is garbage. And then slowly, as I've been getting older, I've been realizing, like, if you search hard enough, you find great music in anything. It just
anything. Absolutely anything.
Yeah, you just have to. You have to not be a jackass about it, and you have to actually try to look and be open minded. And
well, there's a difference between being a genre purist and a music purist. If you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, yeah. The elitist mentality. Oh God, I hate that so much, so much. Sorry, I've gotten into very intense verbal altercations because people are elitists, and I do not like that. It's very annoying, especially when like you are, you know, metal, the whole idea is to not be constricted. You do what you want, you do whatever it is that you feel is necessary, and you make good music. Like, that's top priority, is making good music. And I just don't like people that you know, kind of try to put metal into a little box, because you're going against everything that metal is supposed to be. And
people are gonna think I'm cheesy for saying this, but you know, metal, when I say that, it's almost more of a descriptive term for something that's awesome rather than a specific genre of music for me. Does that make any sense?
It very much. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah. Go. And too, as far as heaviness goes, like, there's, to me, that there's some moments of bands that you really wouldn't even consider metal, where it's damn heavy, versus some like new modern super digital recordings that it's supposed to be a metal band, but it just sounds ballless, completely ballless.
See, that's another thing is, speaking of that, I keep telling people that Queen was one of the most metal bands I've ever heard, and they don't believe me.
But, no, man, their tones full of balls. Full of balls.
But if you listen to Stone Cold Crazy, the original Queen recording of Stone Cold Crazy, that song is so metal.
Right.
Like, my goodness, it is so metal. And then when James Hetfield covered it with Brian May and the rest of Queen, that was, mm-hmm. it made it even better. And it's like, Yeah, that song is so amazing. It's just right. So metal. It's exactly what I want to try to do someday. Just be metal without trying.
Good.
I'm sorry. Let's get back to you, man. And your project. what I didn't ask in the beginning is, what does One Ton Project mean? Where did you get that name, and what does it actually mean for the project?
Originally, I can't remember who came up with it. I think it was Brandon. And it's kind of a one-ton project, a precise heaviness. That was one of the early kind of meanings to it, because earlier we were more of a, maybe I could say more of a heavier band, if you will. And we're strictly more of like a heavier prog type band. So I think he was trying to say it's like, it's proggy, it's precise, the time signatures, but it's still heavy. Okay. As we've evolved and some of the different musicians that have come into the band, especially in its current form, One Ton Project, I mean, it's a name's a name. Until you make it, all names are pretty much lame. And then it becomes cool when a band makes it, or it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. But the word project for us, I think, is very apt, because we are so willing to experiment. We don't feel constricted to write any specific genre of music. Whatever we come up with, we come up with. And I know, and the rest of the band knows, that we can all trust each other to come up with something cool. No matter what it is, it could be like a slow ballad, could be a heavy riff, it could be whatever it is you're talking about. We all trust each other to come up with something unique and cool and fitting for that specific riffs, new song, whatever it ends up being, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell me about the song Protagonist?
Ooh, the Protagonist. I will try to tell you about the song Protagonist. Oddly enough, that song has been around for a few years, not in its current form, but I will tell you, at one point, the person, the protagonist that the song is written about was actually sung by the person it was written about at one point.
That's awesome.
Right. Oddly enough. And there was some, it was a longer song. I think it got up to like 7 or 8 minutes, and there was some ridiculous Allman Brothers style guitar solo harmonies that went on forever. And we really honed it in. And, that whole vocal middle section with all the harmonies there, that is new to the current form of the band. And we thought we wanted to shorten it, make it more concise, still keep it progressive, but make it more of a vocal song.
Awesome.
Instead of a crazy, drawn-out guitar solo song.
All right. Well, right. Sorry. Right now, I'm going to play Protagonist.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Twist the chamber, clocked encounter. Waiting seems to keep us down. Swallow these, hear this, see that. Ears red, tongue black, eyes green, nose brown. 6 and 3 out. this is familiar. Take back that glare, it seems unfair that you should have to waste your time. Your mind is trouble, but you're not the one who needs revelation. The path is clear, it leads you here, but the way is forever. You think so still until you make it to your destination. When you decide to cross that line, you will know. Twist the chamber, clock and counter.
6 and 3.
Waiting seems to keep us down.
One down.
Swallow these, hear this, see that. Ears red, tongue black, eyes green, nose.
All right, that was
brown.
The protagonist. So, Sage, we talked about a little bit about your recording process, but we never actually touched on how you guys put your songs together and what the process is behind what you guys are doing. So do you guys have a set process that you kind of start with, or is it always different?
It's 100% unset. I'll tell you that. I will tell you this. All of us come up with stuff constantly, and are always trying to get it to the other guys. So even if it's not at actual band practice, it's at home. We make even just it goes from making an actual demo on a recording console to just something on your phone, you know. And then hey, check this out, and we'll write something to that. I just 2 nights ago there was a new song idea from Joe and Travis. And they quickly jotted it down on the phone, the piano, sang some vocals over it, and I wrote a whole bass line on that and showed it to them in practice. So and then they're like, "Oh, that works, man! It's cool, you know."
Wow.
So it's all over the place, and I'd say more writing parts at home, and then all of a sudden they come together at practice, and then we'll adjust from there. You know, once. Things usually change once everybody gets in the room together, or the drums will lead me to do certain bass fills and vice versa. Vocals play a big deal into it because as we write new songs, we are really trying to write around the vocals.
Really?
New stuff is going to have it's going to be a blend of really progressive and then also very vocal too, because we want to let the vocals shine in many areas for any new songs that we're writing. So
wow. So when you say very progressive, what do you mean by that? Do you mean kind of like Dream Theater on steroids, or do you mean something completely different?
No. I don't mean I won't say the opposite of Dream Theater. I mean, I love Dream Theater, but we're not gonna go in that. It's too a little bit too much metal for us.
Oh really?
Yeah, a little bit too much metal for us. We're, again, a lot of us have, we like Dream Theater and respect something like Dream Theater. It's not definitely not the direction that we're going, especially when it comes to the vocals. Travis's pocket is nice, like a blues pocket where he can riff and do all sorts of stuff. So we are trying to write within that, which is going to make the vocals pop as much as possible, instead of forcing a progressive vocal line that's all big and epic over, it's not going to come off genuine. And that's one thing that we are striving for, is to come off 100% genuine, because people are going to connect with that more than something that sounds kind of forced or written to be a certain style. I've always liked music that comes off as genuine and what seems right coming from the player that's playing it, if you know what I mean. It could be vocals, it could be bass, it could be drums, whatever it is. And I can tell, I think a lot of people can tell, even though they may or may not know it, it when things sound forced, you know?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like you were skipping out.
I'm in the Lake Havasu. Bad reception. Yeah, so that's anyway, that's our writing process. So anything and everything, it's all good as long as it gets done.
So you guys use the technology for your benefit. You were talking about you guys recorded on cell phones, just a rough idea and everything.
Sure.
That's actually really cool, because I know long distance projects and collaborations and stuff like that, they utilize technology and emailing back and forth. But you guys are in the band, you guys are in the same town, you guys are using that too. So what are the benefits from being in such close proximity to each other and using the technology?
Well, I mean, you can get to the benefits being in close proximity to each other. I mean, you can get together immediately, you know, or we set for us, we have a lot of scheduling issues. So we make sure to talk about it a couple weeks ahead of time and set certain times aside to actually be in the same room together. But we are always, if we can't be, we are always thinking about it. And it's good because we know that it's something I said earlier. We know that every one of us can write something cool to whatever the other band member is writing, because we all trust each other. And so even if it goes a couple few weeks without us being in the room together, people have ideas. We know that somebody's going to write something cool. So it can come together fairly quick when we are together in the same room. Like I said, there's a lot of scheduling issues with the band, so it's not the most ideal, but it's not a bad thing, and we work with what we got. So if it's a cell phone recording that I can quickly email to somebody, great, it's done. They have the idea in their head, and they already start writing, you know?
Yeah, I really like that, man. It's really cool that you guys are doing that, and you're taking full advantage of the technology that's been given. In my research, I saw a picture on your Facebook, and I have to ask, that drum set that is your profile picture for the band, is that legitimate? Like, is that what he uses on the live show?
Yeah, right there.
That's a
mid-80s DW kit.
Wow, that's impressive, man. I'm a drummer by trade, so that's impressive.
So there you go. And there's even some other things there that wasn't pictured in that picture that we used on the album. I want to say we used maybe four or five different snare drums for different songs, depending on the style of song, depending on how much pop you want, depending on how much slack you want, you know. We used a bunch of different stuff. I'm almost positive most of the album was the 80s DW, and then there was also a nice wooden ion kit that
really?
He used too.
Well, that snare drum that's in the picture, it's nice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty badass, man. It's a nice punch in your face sound.
All right, man. So we talked about your writing. We talked about your recording. You also mentioned that you are actually part of a label in Washington called Battleground Records.
The labels run out of Vancouver, Washington, and also Tucson, Arizona.
Really?
Yes. Owners.
Double owners?
Double owners. Partners. Friends and partners.
Wow.
Battleground is... We are actually not the normal band that is on Battleground Records. I mean, you've heard our sound, but most of the other bands, it's kind of like there's doom bands, there's stoner rock bands, mostly heavier stuff, you know, like inspired by like bands like Sleep, Black Sabbath, Witchcraft, Electric Wizard, a lot of bands like that. And there's also some, you know, like Clutch inspired type bands. So we're probably, I would say, the lightest band on the whole label, but I think it's a good contrast, because all the bands on the label are actually really good. So if you do have the time, go check out a few of the bands on the label. They're awesome.
I will do that, man. I will. So can you tell me about the song The Vineyard?
The Vineyard, yes. That's mostly written musically. I think I had the most input on that musically. Vocally, Travis and Brandon did a lot. I had the bass solo, the main guitar riff, the middle, the rhythm part of the middle section there. And then those, the other guys, when it came to the vocals, they really brought it, because that song really came together well, based on my kind of skeleton.
Nice.
I trust those guys to put good stuff on there, and it really, really worked. So Vineyard came out well, I think.
All right, well, this is The Vineyard.
Awesome.
Suspect.
was the vineyard? Sorry. All right, so yeah, man. We talked about all of the things you're recording. We hit on your hiatus, and it, during the break, you were telling me about you guys trying to get your momentum back. So has it been a big struggle, or have you guys been accepted with open arms?
I would say it's more of the latter. During our break time, it was unfortunate, but hey, you just kind of have to roll with the punches. When you truly believe in what you're doing, it doesn't really matter if we had to wait on it. During the time, I was getting, you know, real. Everyone was getting real antsy. I'm like, oh, let's go, let's do this. This sucks. But in the end, we put out a really good product that we're proud in and that we believe in, and are definitely looking to the future. For all those few years that we were off, people kept bugging us. Every single person in the band was being, you know, hey, what's going on? What's going on? We love you guys. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And finally, when we announced the release of the record and the subsequent CD release party, or album release party, if you will. I hate calling it a CD release party because we put it on vinyl and they're like, no, it's an album. No, it's not just a CD, blah, 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 blah. You know, kind of bullshit. But finally, people were like, oh, my God, thank God. So put the word out to the promoters about what's going on. We did a lot of promotion leading up to the release party, did some radio interviews, stuff like that. And the release party was really well attended, and all our shows since have been really well attended. And people were like, thank God you guys are back. You sound better than ever. You sound tighter than ever. And I think we do. The whole band is playing more comfortably and tighter than we have ever played, even before we went on hiatus. And it's a wonderful feeling, and it's giving us the momentum to keep going and record all of the new stuff that we have written so far. So
nice.
That's going to be happening post-haste over the next 6 months or so.
Wow, so how many songs do you guys have for this next album?
Well, as far as, we're probably going to go with, I don't know if it'll be as long as this record, because we're going to do a lot of, in the end, I think we're going to do a lot of quality control. So we might go for like the 30 to 43 minute record as opposed to almost a 50 minute record. So some of the songs might get X-nayed, but we got at least 10 to 15 ideas, really solid ideas, and wow. Skeletons and riffs, vocal melodies all day long. And a couple actually almost finished recorded songs too.
Nice.
That we know the direction that they are going to go in. And then we also have a whole bunch of ideas. So honestly, I would say maybe more than 15. I'm going to say 15, 20. solid ideas, which of course we will whittle down, and we're open to everything. It's going to be awesome. The next record is going to be a huge breadth of musical genres, I think. You can tell by listening to this record, we incorporate a lot of genres into our music. This is probably going to take it to the next step, so you're going to hear a wider range of genres and maybe more extremes as well.
So you have been adamant about saying that the entire band pitches in, and the entire band can write great songs. So does the entire band actually pitch in for lyrics too, or is that a one man job?
I am going to have to say that for Gizzards and Hearts, Brandon and Daniel, had a lot to do with the lyrics for Gizzards and Hearts. Moving forward, it's going to be a lot more universal.
Okay.
I think lyrics, I'm actually probably the least, the person that contributes the least, but I will contribute a lot of riffs.
Okay.
To the record. So far, we are looking at like Brandon, Daniel, Travis, and Joe are all coming to the, stepping up to the plate and contributing some really neat lyrics. And they're start, some of the new songs are actually starting from vocals. And we're writing music to the vocals. Whereas before, we mostly, vocals were retroactive, where we wrote the music first and then wrote vocals to it afterwards. The new stuff is going to be much more of a blend. There's going to be music we write vocals to and also vice versa, which we are actually really excited about. Because they will make those songs where we write around the vocals are going to make for really well-written vocal songs that I really think people are going to like.
So what is your... you're talking about writing around the vocals and writing retroactively for the vocals. Which one is your favorite to actually work on? Do you have a favorite?
Well, being a riff guy myself, I like writing music and then hearing someone put cool vocals over that that I may not necessarily have been able to come up with by myself, but it's like, oh, when you hear it, you know. So personally, for me, I think that's what I like. But when you write something awesome around a vocal melody, there's really, really something to be said for that. And I think the majority of listeners connect, unless you're like a musician or something like that, connect more with a vocal song versus a song that was written all really proggy and musically. And I do like both styles. They are different, but I think a lot of people connect more with the vocal song versus a super proggy music song. But like I said, whatever works is what's going to work. Like maybe someone will come up with a riff and you have one vision for it, but the band takes it in another direction. And being a democracy, the band is an absolute democracy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all trust each other, and we will come up with something very, very cool. And then it goes in a direction where nobody thought it would. And that's also very exciting, too.
All right. So speaking of that, you asked me to get into the song John the Clown. Can you tell me about the writing process behind that? You said that everybody had a hand in it. So what did they contribute?
That was one of the ones where everyone really contributed to that song. I think I came up with the opening riffs and what ended up being the verse on guitar. And then I went over to Brandon's house. We were hanging out, drinking some beers, and I showed him the riff. He came up with the chorus melody, and then we showed it to the rest of the guys. Joe came up with the middle part. Travis came up with the vocal melody. Brandon wrote the lyrics, and it was just a whole collaboration between the entire band, which was really nice because there's if you get to know the band, there's some stuff where you're like, oh, that's totally a Sage song. Oh, that's totally a Brandon song. But that one is a true collaboration for everybody, and it blended everybody's styles together.
Nice.
Which, as a band, that was very cool to us, and we like the way that one turned out.
So what does John the Clown actually mean?
That, I hope Brandon doesn't mind me talking about it, but it actually has... Brandon would be the clown in this situation, and he's talking about his ex-wife.
Wow.
Yeah, so without getting too personal for him, he can go into much more detail. I won't presume to go into the detail for him, but I'll just say it was a dramatic episode, dramatic episodes with his ex-wife.
All right.
Keyword here being ex.
Okay. Well, this is John the Clown.
After all, baby, don't yourself into now, does he? Look at them now, looking at you. You don't care about an answer, do. Don't worry, baby, cause I'm just here to amuse you. Pick up the slack Sunday morning. The look on your face tells a story. Waiting for you to take all the time that you want. Waiting for you, no need to rush, I know. Waiting for you to take all the time that you want. Waiting for you, no need to rush, I know.
It's going to be about the hour mark for this interview. But before I let you go, Sage, I really, really need to know how the local music scene is in Vegas.
Well, the local music scene in Vegas has developed a lot since I've moved to town. I've been in Vegas for, it'll be 12 years coming up in September. So for a good clip, I'm originally from the East Coast. And when I first moved to Vegas, I got into bands immediately. And it really seemed that the only cohesive scene in town was the punk scene, which there's always a ton of punk bands in every town in the entire country. So that's not really saying all that much. But the venues weren't there. The Vegas is known as a transient town, so the music scene felt kind of like that. More transient bands would come and go all the time. Nobody really helped each other out. You hear horror stories about bands getting their gear stolen from, you know, the most common place in town where everybody plays, you know. Wow. And there just weren't a lot of great venues. The places where there should be great venues weren't developed, closed businesses, you know, and Vegas has the reputation being a little bit cheesy. Of course, it kind of has that cheesy Vegas shiny veneer on it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that you saw in your face were bands that had that cheesy Vegas shiny veneer on them, which nobody I know really liked or cared about. Over the past few years, a lot has changed. There's some better areas, much better venues. people that seem like they really care about making a scene. And it takes a long, you know, it takes a while to develop this type of stuff, which is understandable. But nowadays, there's, like I said, much better venues. People have been very much cooler. There's some better bands in town. Everyone has more of a feeling of camaraderie.
Nice.
Which I got to say, man, like once we really, after our hiatus and once we really started to get back into it, it's still the entire band, especially me, with a sense of pride. I was like, wow, finally something cool could be happening in Las Vegas. And because there's a lot of bands, there's a lot of talented people that come to this city looking to do something. And it was a shame before where there was no way for them to really get together. And I think that's in development. And better than ever. And soon you're going to see a lot of bands, I think, come from Vegas, and not just cheesy Vegas veneer style bands. Like, I hate to name names, but I think we all know who comes from Vegas right now. So that's right there. And every one of those has that veneer that shouldn't be there, that just I don't want to hear. And a lot of people I know do not want to hear. We want to hear something more real, and like so many good bands that are coming out from other cities in the country. And I want that from Las Vegas. I want something more real and not so polished, you know?
Yeah, I can see that, man. I really can. I mean, it's kind of like in L.A., how there's the standard in L.A., and all over, mm-hmm. like the big towns, there's like you said, there's a veneer on it, and only the people that that conform to that have the ability to rise. And it's a sad thing because there's so much talent here. I mean, everywhere there's talent. You just have to look.
That does nothing but squash creativity.
Yeah, no kidding.
And once your creativity is squashed or trying to put in a box like that, it ceases to become an expression of art and just becomes something completely different than that, and quite frankly sad and disappointing.
Yeah, no kidding, man. All right, man, so thank you very much for going into that. I have never actually been to Vegas. I know what I know from movies and stories, but I've never actually been to Vegas, so that's really nice to be able to have people there explaining what their views are. Yeah, man. I really hope that the Vegas rises. I mean, it's a good town. It's a very, very good town. I know there's a lot of things there and a lot of opportunity. So hopefully everything works out for everybody there.
Well, we're always looking to expose maybe the underbelly of the city, which is not usually presented in your face, you know. And that's where the good music, the good stuff is going to come from, is that seedy underbelly, because it's more real than anything that you've seen in movies or heard about Vegas or from what people tell you. It's that underlying seediness is what I think is going to set Vegas apart from other places, and also make good music in the future. I really expect something cool.
Awesome, man. So where can people find your band and hear the rest of the songs that you're producing?
Well, make it real easy for you. If you go to onetonproject.com, we have a great website that's easy to navigate. You just click on music. You can listen to the whole album for free. If you want to buy it, you can download it. You can buy the CD. And we also have a 180-gram clear vinyl.
Wow.
Which, by the way, absolutely sounds badass. So I suggest buying the vinyl because it sounds great. But any one of those mediums, you just find us on onetimeproject.com, Facebook, Twitter, everything. The music's on iTunes, all the download sites. We're pretty much everywhere. So that's the best place.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so very much for being on the show. I had a really good time talking to you about your process and about Vegas and everything. Thank you again.
Yep.
Yeah, keep me in the loop. I really want to hear what you guys are going to be doing next. And I'm really excited to hear about these new songs. And please, let me know, all right?
Thanks, Andrew. I had a really good time talking to you, too.
All right, brother. You have a good night.
All right. You too, man.
And that was Sage from One Ton Project. Really cool. I don't know if anybody else caught that, but it was really cool to know that he was relaxing on the other end of the phone while having the conversation. It just felt like it made the interview better, which is really, really awesome. And it is a really good interview to have in the archives for the local music revolution. So Sage and 110 Project are signed to Battleground Records. They're based out of Washington, and they do have some artists on their roster I would not mind contacting. So Battleground, if you hear this, please contact the Local Music Revolution at thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com, and we will get you and your artist hooked up with interviews, because we did that for Sage. Once again, if you want to get a hold of the Local Music Revolution on social media, all you have to do is go to facebook.com/localmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMRpodcast, on Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution, and newly added tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Everything that is on the WordPress will be added to all of those media sites. I am still working on YouTube, and every time there is an update episode, iTunes, Stitcher, and every other podcast catcher will update with that episode. So you can stay in contact with me, you can hear all of the newest updates and episodes, and you can know what's going on in the revolution land, that is, the local music revolution. I really don't know what that's supposed to mean, but you can stay in touch with us. I've said this a couple times before, I'll say this again. There is a game streaming site that are run by two of very good friends of mine. They are very, very good friends of mine. And they also let me be part of their weird, weird streams sometimes. The basic gist is the Bearded Necro will give me a controller to a game that I've never played. Try to show me how to use the buttons and then say play. They did that with the beta for Battlefront. They did that with Trials Fusion, and they did that with Killer Instinct. So those guys are terrible, but they are funny, and then let me be part of their show. So look up Failed Gamers on Twitch. That's Failed_Gamers on Twitch. You can also find them under Failed Gamers on Facebook. Their channel is growing pretty rapidly, and I'm very excited to hear that they are doing so well. Also, they do tournaments and give away prizes. So if you want those kind of things, check out their stream. Let them know that Ogre sent you from the Local Music Revolution. And if you do see that I am part of that stream, you guys should be there so you can hear all the crazy nonsense we talk about. So until next week, it has been a wonderful, wonderful time with you. Next week's episode will feature Ethan Walls, who is signed to a management company. That's how I got a hold of him. But also, he is an EDM artist. We talk about how he writes his music. We also talk about why you should never save your files under Final. That is a terrible idea, people. But he is influenced by metal, and he is just a really good guy to talk to. So tune in next week, and you can hear everything that Ethan Walls has to say about what makes him so great. Until next week, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Thank you very much for listening once again. Take care and be good, everyone.
The local music revolution.